chapter 3, beginning in verse 14, the Bible says, "These things have I written unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." So you notice at the end of verse 15, the last several words with regards to the church, that it is to be the pillar and the ground of the truth. I'd like us to think about that this evening. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask and pray your blessing upon the service tonight. Now, please speak to our hearts. Please use me as your instrument and your vessel tonight to bring these truths. And help us just to block out the cares of the day and the cares of the week coming up. And just to think about what your word says and how we can make application to our lives. For we ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. In a recent survey, 70% of the American population believe that we were in or are in a moral crisis. 70%. But then, interestingly enough, listen to this, at the same time, over 70% cannot agree on what moral absolutes are or are not. So that creates a problem. So we have 70% thinking we have a moral crisis in our country, but we have the same amount, 70%, who really don't even believe they're or can't agree on what moral absolutes are. So here's a problem. If we say that we're in a crisis and we have such a diversity of views with regards to what morality is or is not, and what is morally right and what is morally wrong, then it becomes extremely difficult to even approach the problem. It becomes extremely difficult as a nation to stop the moral downslide of our country. But you and I, we have something that tells us what's morally right and morally wrong. Amen? In Proverbs chapter number 14 and verse 34, the Bible says that, now listen, righteousness exalteth a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Now add to the problem that people can't figure out what's right and can't figure out what's wrong and what's moral and what's not moral. Add to that is that we have increasingly become a nation of consumption. You know what I mean by that? A nation of consumption? Well, here's some things. Our nation, for instance, we are fixated on drinking. We are a nation that consumes alcoholic beverages in great quantities. We're fixated on that. By the way, all of the pagan nations, all down through history, were fixated on alcoholic beverages. They even had gods, the gods of alcohol. We're fixated on that. I don't need to spend time, just the drug problem in our country, the opioid crisis in our country. We're fixated on entertainment and the entertainment industry. We can't get enough entertainment. No matter how much it seems that we as a nation and as a people consume, it's just not enough. I don't watch any of these, but I'm really a sports fan. I like to watch a lot of sports, and you flip around in channels, and if you look, we have satellite TV, you look at the guide, there seems to be constantly an award ceremony. An award for this, an award ceremonies for this, an award ceremonies for this, whether it's Hollywood or television or magazines or recording. And everybody is, they And why? By the way, why does the entertainment do this? Because they get huge amounts of ratings. People are fixated on that. That's what we become. We are like the horse leech that Proverbs talks about. The writer of Proverbs says, there are two daughters crying, give, give, like the horse leech. You know what a horse leech is? The horse leech is just what it sounds like. It is a leech that grabs a hold of a horse and it just sucks the blood. And it sucks the blood. And it sucks the blood, Nehemiah. So you know what happens? It explodes. The horse leech is never satisfied. If it could, it would suck every ounce of blood out of a horse. Now, we know that's impossible. And so the horse leech just kills itself. It's really a picture, really, of maybe where our culture is headed. Ecclesiastes, when we did our study in Ecclesiastes, Solomon understood that, right? Solomon said this, there's an evil which I've seen under the sun, and it is common among men, a man to whom God, even God, hath given wealth and riches and honor, so that he wanteth nothing for his soul of all that he desires. He just cannot be satisfied. I'm reading Tim Keller's book, Making Sense of God. And he makes an interesting point. He makes this point that we have, in the last 50 years, become a nation of people who have gone from being a people who were brought up and bred and believed in self-sacrifice. In fact, I just read, by the way, and I see this, I get the history. If you don't get it from North Adams, it's very interesting. If you're on Facebook, they post different things that happened in history. World War II, 147 men were killed in this area in World War II. That's the greatest generation, they call them. Men who were and women who their whole attitude was self-sacrifice. Self-sacrifice. We've gone from a nation of self-sacrifice to self-assertiveness. You understand what that is? Self-sacrifice from self-assertion. We've gone from ask not what your country can do for you, but ask, how does it end? Yeah, but you have to be my age or maybe a little younger, a little bit older to remember that. We've gone from that. Ask not what your country can do for you, but ask what you can do for your country. We had cultural boundaries, and we can't figure out those boundaries. We had a sense of community. There's not very little sense of community any longer, and some of that kept our culture together. These are all, by the way, I believe, God-ordained gifts. But we've gone from that, and you contrast that today. Listen to this. Here's a current lyrics of a very popular song, which really is very emblematic of what I'm talking about. It's time to see what I can do to test the limits and break through. No right, no wrong. No rules for me, I'm free. Well, that must be by some hard rock group. Nope, that's from Elsa in the kids' movie Frozen. Now, there are subliminal messages like that all throughout the entertainment industry. Think about what that's teaching young people. But that is the attitude of our current generation. It's time to see what I can do to test the limits and break through. There is no right. There is no wrong. There's no rules for me. I'm free. But in some ways, that's really what every person is looking for. Not the sense that there's no right and no wrong, but every person is looking for freedom, to be free. to be free. And it's sad, though, because you look out at our culture today and you see people who are hungering and they're thirsting after pleasure and the philosophy of this world, hoping that it's going to bring some type of freedom. Why do people go to the movies? And I'm not preaching against going or not going. What I'm saying, why do they go? Or even, why do people listen to music? It's a way to free themselves from the burdens of life. That's why they go. But our culture has become so, and such a moral no man's land, that I think it's a lot of it's crept into our Christian circles. Well, many people who are Christians will sit in a movie and with no qualms, no problems at all, they'll just listen to all kinds of foul and perverse language. But people are looking for freedom. They are. But this brings us back to where we're going to preach tonight, that the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. Because the message that you and I have, the message that you and I can give, is the message of freedom. It's the message of liberty. It's found in Jesus Christ. Because everything in life, everything, doesn't bring freedom. In fact, I think it's either in 1st or 2nd Peter, he uses words like these that bring false doctrines and false teachers. They are like empty clouds. They're big, they're puffy, they're beautiful, but there's nothing to them. And while they promise liberty, they don't bring liberty at all. But people are looking for freedom. They're looking for freedom because the burdens of life. What can wash away my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me free again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Did I get that wrong?
It works.
It's okay. But it's freedom. And that's where the church comes in. Now, notice this. So, Paul is writing here to young Timothy. He's a young preacher, and he's facing all of these challenges. And if just quickly look back to chapter 1 and verse 3. He says, "And I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, and I went into Macedonia." So he's writing to Timothy, who's in Ephesus. Ephesus is where the temple of Diana was. The temple of Diana, the temple of this goddess, was the pride and the glory of Ephesus. It's 425 feet, it was 425 feet long. And 220 feet broad. It was huge. 127 white columns that reached up into the sky. Each of them 60 feet tall. The treasures and its value for its time was immense. We are told that it took 220 years to build the temple of Ephesus, the temple to the goddess Diana. It was called one of the seven wonders of the world. In the year that Alexander the Great was born, the temple was burned to the ground by a man who was called, I'm not sure I'll pronounce this correctly, but Herostratus. He did it in order to immortalize himself. He wanted everyone to know that he had done all of this. He wanted to be identified with it. But it was rebuilt. But all of these columns that supported Ephesus, that supported the temple of Diana, they were there to draw attention to that. They were there to draw attention to temple worship and all that went with it. But you and I, we are the pillar and the ground of the truth. We are here to draw attention to the only one, the only person, the only thing that can bring true freedom and true liberty in your life. We are the pillars. Just as that whole world, if you traveled through that world and you began to describe oh, yeah, these 120 pillars and 60 feet tall, and they're immediately people would begin, oh, that's the temple of Diana. That's the temple where they worship Diana. That's the temple where this takes place and that takes place. Pastor Ethan kind of remarked about this morning as well. We're Christians. And people should see that, you and I, as the pillar and ground of the truth. They should see that in us as well. So let me just kind of get back to my pet peeve, it seems, tonight. Some of the entertainment we watch, listen to, go to, get involved with. Shouldn't people kind of step back and say, oh, I thought so-and-so was a Christian. What are they doing watching something like this? Oh, I thought she was a Christian. What in the world is she doing listening to something like this? Don't we understand that entertainment brings us into bondage? It all does. We're addicted. It's like almost an addiction. But we have the answer. We have the answer. It's freedom in Christ. So let's just look at these three verses. Let me just give you these three things here tonight. Number one, I see this. Look at verse number 16. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifest in the flesh. In John chapter 1 and verse 1, the Bible says that in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Amen? God was manifest in the flesh, Jesus Christ. He came unto His own, and His own, what? Received Him not. But to as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God. So you and I, as the pillar and ground of the truth, one of the things that we must do is we must protect the truth of who Jesus Christ is. We not only protect the truth of who Jesus Christ is, but with our lips, but we protect the truth with regards to who Jesus Christ is with our lives, inside of the church and outside of the church. What we're involved with, what we're not involved with. Just as Ethan gave the example of Penn and Teller this morning in the message, the atheist, he said, how cruel can you be? That you're so cruel that you know and you believe that the only way to have your sins forgiven and for you to have eternal life is through Jesus Christ, and yet you tell no one? I guess it would be like going past a burning building or being in a burning building and not telling someone, hey, the building's on fire, we need to get out. But we have to protect that truth. In fact, that truth, the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's been placed in our trust. I've always thought of this too, and I think the scriptures really hold this up. Because today, even the gospel today is, there are people trying to pervert the gospel of exactly who Jesus is. Whether they try to preach a message where He wasn't bodily resurrected, but His spirit just lives in the world today, that's a false gospel. That He was a great teacher, that He was a great rabbi, and He was a great philosopher, and they kind of put Him on the same, they say, well, yeah, sure, Jesus. He's kind of like Jesus and Buddha and Confucius and any of the others that you want to put in there. But that's not who Jesus Christ is. He is God that was manifest in the flesh. And you and I have been given the task and the responsibility to protect that truth. People are looking for freedom. Jesus said, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. We have the answer. It's Jesus Christ. So our challenge is, well, what are we doing to protect that truth? It's great that you're here in church, but what about outside of church? Are we protecting that truth? Do people really see Christ living in and through us? But then I also notice this in the text. Notice what it said in verse 15. So Paul writes and he said, if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. So it kind of just lends itself to what I was just talking about. It's one thing to say it, but how are we behaving ourselves? We expect certain behavior out of our children. And God expects certain behavior out of you and I as children. So, not only must the church protect this truth that God was manifest in the flesh, but you and I, as the pillar and ground of the truth, we have to project this truth. People need to see it in us, how we behave ourselves. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look at what it says in verse 19. 2 Timothy 2:19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But this is how we project the truth. We depart from iniquity. We depart from things that the world thinks. Listen, there are people who aren't even Christians. They know sometimes and make decisions right and wrong better than some Christian people do. They know. We're supposed to depart from iniquity. But in a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, meet for the master's use, prepared unto every good work. You know, it's just the old illustration. God is not interested in using dirty vessels. It's an illustration I heard when I was just a very young Christian. If I'm going to take a glass of water and I'm going to drink out of it, I want to make sure the glass is clean. I don't want to drink out of a dirty, filthy glass. Well, it's the truth with God. If He's going to use us, you and I, first of all, we had better be thinking about, am I protecting the truth that I've put my faith and trust in God who became a man, in Jesus Christ, the one who came to bring me freedom? Listen, some of you young adults that are here tonight, there are many things that the world is trying to draw you to and convince you that you'll find freedom in these things. You only find freedom in your relationship with Jesus Christ. That's the history of the world. That's why people get off into drugs. That's why people get off into gambling. They're looking for some kind of freedom, some type of escape from all the burdens. We have the answer to that. It's Jesus. And we have to project it. There's liberty in Christ. There's captivity in the culture. It's never been any different. Doesn't matter what culture. But keep your finger here for a minute. Take your Bibles and turn to Isaiah chapter 59. Isaiah chapter 59 was written 600 years approximately before Paul wrote to Timothy. Nothing's changed. The history of the world hasn't changed. It's all the same. The problems, the difficulties are the same. Isaiah chapter 59, verse 12. He says, for our transgressions are multiplied before thee. Our sins testify against us. Our transgressions are with us. And as for our iniquities, we know them. In transgressing and lying against the Lord, and departing away from our God, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. By the way, remember it was Isaiah that said, these people honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. So these people would say, they would say one thing, but their lives didn't project what their beliefs were. At least their verbal beliefs. Verse 15, yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased him, and there was no judgment. And he saw that there was no man, and wondered that there was no intercessor. Therefore his arm brought salvation unto him, and his righteousness it sustained him. For he put on righteousness as a breastplate, and a helmet of salvation upon his head, and he put on the garments of vengeance for clothing, and he was clad with the zeal as a cloak. Really, most writers, most Bible scholars believe that is a prophecy of the coming of the Messiah, the righteous one. Let me go back to Timothy. So, you and I, as the pillar and the ground of the truth, we live in a culture that can't figure out what's right, and they can't figure out what's wrong, but everybody wants to be free. We live in the Elsa culture. It's time to see what I can do, to test the limits and break through. No right, no wrong. No rules for me, I'm free. No, you're not, it's a lie. No one's free. No one is free. Not even Elsa. I'm sorry to hurt your feelings about the movie Frozen. And I'm not telling you to go home and burn it either. But by the way, parents, I am telling you this. There are a lot of messages like that and a lot of kids' stuff today. Everything from the characters and all that goes along with what they believe and don't believe and their sexual orientation, and it's all there today. And we would be fools. We would be sottish. That's a Bible term. So don't feel bad about using it. Jeremiah used it. You know what sottish is, isn't it? Stupid. We would be stupid to think that the Hollywood culture isn't trying to influence the youngest minds. Stupid. But there are a lot of stupid Christians around. So you have to be on guard against that stuff. So we need to protect the truth that we have placed our faith and trust in the one true living God, Jesus Christ. Be careful of any person or anything that de-emphasizes the deity of Christ. Be careful of anything or anyone that de-emphasizes the sufficiency of Christ, and anyone or anything that de-emphasizes the authority of Christ. They are not protecting the truth of Jesus Christ. And then if we're going to do that, we've got to project that with our lives. Paul said that how thou ought to behave. There's a certain expectation on how we're supposed to behave. Like, let me just be blunt. You young adults. One of the things that young Christians aren't to be doing is jumping from bed to bed, woman to woman, or man to man. That's not how a Christian behaves. Let me be a bit more blunt since I'm on a roll. Drunkenness, drugs. It's not how a Christian behaves. Lying, cheating, stealing, swearing. It's not how a Christian behaves. And by the way, none of that brings freedom. It robs you of your freedom. That's the important point of all this. It's not the idea, well, you just don't want me to have any fun and you won't let me to do this. Oh, stop whining. It robs you of your freedom. Jesus gives you the... He gives you the greatest freedom of all. So we have to project that truth. We have to project that to a world. But see, here's the key. We have to project that to to the world in which we live in, that there is freedom in Christ. And how we do that is especially important. Listen, I'm just going to be, here's something else, an observation that I've made in fellowshipping with other churches. I have seen, and this isn't always the case, but I have seen many of our sister churches have not come to, the Word of God never changes. But over time, how you approach and how you deal with people has to change. Keller, in his book, makes this comment. We now live in a world, here's something that's changed. We now live in a world in the last 50 years that people are looking for freedom three different ways. They're either looking within themselves. I just had this discussion with a dear relative of mine, and this is her, that it comes from within. Or you have to look for freedom from without, everything that's around us, or you're looking above. The culture that many of us were born into was, even then, most people, they weren't looking within, they really weren't looking without. Whatever background they were coming from, they were basically looking above. They may not have been Christians, but there was the idea, you're going to die, there was a heaven to gain and there was a hell to lose. Today, this whole generation, they don't even believe in heaven, they don't believe in hell, but they're looking for freedom. And so you and I, our responsibility is to protect the truth of who Jesus Christ is, the trust of the gospel, but we've got to project it with our lives. People have to see it. So we can't be going around just as sourpusses all the time and don't do this and don't do that. I understand we have to stand up for right, we have to stand up for wrong, but there's a way you can do it and there's a way you shouldn't do it. How, when we're projecting that truth, I guess what I'm saying is, what are people seeing in us? Is it something what we're projecting that they're going to want? Because I'm going to tell you, most people are looking for it. And I noticed as the pillar and ground of the truth, well, what did they do? Look as we finish up here. Look what he says. He says in 1 Timothy chapter 4, he says this. These things write I shortly unto thee, hoping to come unto thee. If I tarry long, thou oughtest behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God. We are the pillar, we are the ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh. He was justified in the spirit. He was seen of angels. Look what he says. He was preached unto the Gentiles and believed on in the world, received up into glory. We not only protect the truth, and not only do we personally project this truth as individually and as a body of believers, but we promote the truth by declaring it to others, by sharing our faith with a lost and dying world. He preached unto the Gentiles. And we present Jesus Christ in a way that people are going to be drawn to the freedom of Christ and what Christ offers. Let me finish with this. Are you and I, are we prepared to give an answer to those people who are looking for freedom from within themselves? Are we prepared to give an answer to those people who are looking for an answer from the world around us? And are we prepared to give an answer that the answer is upward? I think most of us are probably prepared to give an answer to what's above. But what about that person that doesn't even believe in heaven or hell? Are we prepared to talk with them? How would you even approach that? That's the world we live in today. And I want to tell you, I was making a reference to many of the churches that I fellowship with. Many of the churches that are only approaching with the answer to those, they're approaching it with the same idea that everyone is looking from an answer from above. Those churches, very few of them are growing, because they're missing the point. The culture isn't just looking above any longer. The culture is looking within. The culture is looking around us. We have to be able to give an answer to those people while that's not the answer. Do you understand what I'm saying? Does that make sense? That's the world we live in today. So I could meet someone and I could give them the Romans road and tell them how to get to heaven, but If they don't even believe in heaven, then what's the point of that? Or you better be careful. You don't get saved. You're going to go to hell. I don't even believe in hell. Why would I even be concerned with that? Hell? What, are you kidding me? It was like years that terrible shooting that happened at that Bible study. That was in North Carolina, South Carolina, a year or two ago. You remember that? And I was watching the news that day, and Geraldo Rivera and Ainsley Earhart on the Fox, one of the Fox News, they're talking about Bible studies, and Geraldo said, Bible study? Who even goes to Wednesday night Bible study anymore? And Ainsley Earhart said, I do. But here's the point. Geraldo Rivera, who even goes to that anymore? It used to be that was just the norm. That's how Christians behaved. That's part of promoting the truth, protecting the truth, and projecting the truth. So you and I, we can look around and say, oh, the country's never been so bad. It's been worse. We had a civil war. Let's get over it, okay? Just project, promote, and protect the truth of Jesus Christ. People are looking for an answer. We have the answer. I don't have the answer, but it's a great answer. It's freedom. It's freedom in Christ. We've never sang it here as a church, but I was down at the First Baptist Church in Naples, and they had a chorus, and it was, I forget how it all went, but the emphasis of it was free, free, free. I remember singing that with 3,000 people in the room. Free, free, free. That's what the culture needs to hear, because our culture is bound in the chains of bondage. Free, 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 free. Shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you or make you free. Amen? We are the pillar and ground of the truth. Just as they saw Diana's temple. Oh, yeah, that's the temple of Diana. What about us? Oh, yeah, he's a Christian. She's a Christian. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Lord, help us as we leave this place tonight and go out into this world in which we live, to be reminded that we are the pillar and the ground of the truth. What a privilege it is. Lord, help us to make a difference. And we know, Lord, that you want to use us to make a difference. And I ask and pray that we would think about your word, and we would think about how we can make application, and just let our light shine in a very dark and difficult world. But it's always been a dark and difficult world. But thank you for the privilege that you give us to be ambassadors for Christ. In Jesus' name, we ask and pray these things. Amen.